different issues we're going to be covering. So the Gemara has a din in the Machus Adina, and many people misunderstand this to mean that when you have a law case, but another Jew, you're allowed to go to secular court. That's not true. You're not allowed to go to, that's a separate din. Not permitted to go to our court, Shal Nachrim. Even if you know that court, you're going to pass on the same as the Bez and Shal Yisrael. It's an open and shut case. That's prohibited. Not allowed to go to our court. If another Jew, let's say, I want to bring a non-Jew to our court, that I can do. Or a non-Jew brings me to our court, that I can do. There is a tshuva in the... Let me say what the tshuva is, then I'll remind myself the name in a second. A Jew sold a boat to a non-Jew for a fortune of money. And the non-Jew didn't pay yet. And then the non-Jew started asking around. He had the boat and he had the money. He hadn't paid yet. And he started asking around and found out that the Jew charged him 10 times as much as the going rate. So he said, I'm not going to pay that. That's utterly ridiculous. So the Jew said, no. You're mechuyif to pay, you agreed to pay. So the goy said, I'm going to sue you on court. You overcharged me 10 times as much. So the Jew said, I'm not allowed to go to court. There is no such thing. A goy brings me to court. I'm allowed to go to court. I'm not allowed to take another Jew to court. Another Jew takes me to court. I'm allowed to countersue. I'm allowed to go to court if the other guy started up with me. You're not allowed to take another Jew to court. So the goy says, what do you mean not allowed to go to court? I'll go to a din Torah. So he said, okay. So they went to a din Torah. So the local rabbi could paskin that the Gemara learns out from the pasuk, L'sanu ish and samisai, I know only applies between two Jews. And I know la'akum, that you're allowed to cheat the goy. So the goy said, I can't believe it. Is there a higher court who can reconsider the case? So he said, yeah, the Mishkan is Yankel, that's the one. Abyanka l'kalina. So he said, Abyanka l'kalina, that's the higher court. So they sent the shayla to the Mishkan as Yankiv, and he writes back, that's ridiculous. Ein anor l'akum, like ein anor l'hegdeshes. It doesn't mean you're allowed to cheat hegdesh. It means that the evidence, if he cheat. There are two didim in anor. There's an iser anor, then there's a penalty of anor. How do you know that there are two different didim? And never says Nechum is there's a penalty, because we learn out from the psukim that there's no didim by anor by karka. There's no dinner by no on karka. So the Ramban Chumash says, how can you say there's no dinner by no on karka? The Chumash gives the example of karka. If you're selling karka and Eretz Yisrael to another Jew, somebody comes, Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, you're going to get it back. So for how many years are you selling it? When it's going to be? Is it 3 years till Yovel? Is it 20 years? Is it 40 years? Is it 45 years? Depending how many years there are till Yovel, that's how you should fix the price. Altonu shouldn't charge too much, and the Lekech shouldn't cheat the Lemoicher by paying him too little. You have to be honest. You see the famous, the Chumash talks about, I know about Karkanka, ain't I know the Karko. So the Ramban explains, and the Minchas Chinuch elaborates on this Ramban, on Chumash. He explains it by Riches, but it's all in the Ramban. The Chazal saw in the Psukim that there are two parts to Einor. There's a din, an Isser Einor, you're not allowed to cheat, not allowed to overcharge or underpay. And then there's a penalty in the Einor. What exactly is the penalty of Einor? So if it's Pachas Mishtus is Mechila, Shtus is Kora Machzor Einor, yes, Mishtus is Batal Mekach. That's Lanitna, Lanasana Kasvel Lachachamit to determine what the penalty should be. The Chumash doesn't say what the penalty is. So that's the same Einor Nor La'akum. The Gemara in the first perik in Bchoris sounds like ein anor la'akum. There's no din in Shulchan Aruch. It sounds if you're allowed to cheat the Nachri, but the Rashash points out on that Gemara in the beginning of the first perik in Bchoris, la misach atamachzor anor viatamachzor anor la'akum goes on the penalty. The penalty of anor doesn't apply by a Nachri, but the isur anor does apply. Isur anor does apply. And then the Mishkan Yankev writes, the Bezdin who will say that, who will be Mechayib the Goy, that he has to pay the full amount, even though it's 10 times the correct price, the Bezdin is Oivan and Yisrael Noah. If they're forcing the goy to pay the money, he has the boat and he has the money. He didn't pay yet. If he already paid the money, then there's no penalty by no lachem. But if he didn't pay yet, the bezin will force him to pay. Will be in violation of by no.
So,
yeah, that's what the Mishkan Zankiv says. That's what the Rashash says. You see from the Loshan Gemara. Now, the penalty, the Akum was nismite from the penalty. The same thing, Hegdish, you're not allowed to cheat Hegdish. There's no Pesedit Egg. Someone's Magdish, a mansion. A mansion is worth $1 million. So, what are you going to do with $1 million? There's no Hegdish today. So the Gemara says, you pay the on $5 and you throw the money into the Yam HaMelech. You put the money on HaMelech. Why are you cheating Hegdish? You're not cheating Hegdish. Well, what are you going to do? Take $1 million and throw it into Yam HaMelech. There's no Gizbar Shal Hegdish. So you say you can't. So Bizman says, Mutar Lachatchila to cheat the Hegdish. So there's a separate din. Din of the Machlusa din. Din of Machlusa din. The basic din in the Gemara, the basic din applies with respect to paying taxes. Many years ago, before 9/11, anybody who wanted to could walk into the buildings here. So on one occasion, Cardinal Lustiger, he was a Mishumid, his parents were Jewish, they were not observant, but again, when the Nazis were going to kill all the Jews, so they gave him over to the Christian family that they should keep him alive. So they kept him alive, but he converted as a teenager. He converted to Christianity, worked his way up, and became the Cardinal of Paris. There was Avmin at one point that they may make him the Pope, but that used to happen in the Middle Ages. They used to make Jewish people the Pope. But in recent years, not Shach, they didn't make him the Pope. So he walked into the buildings, and he saw that the Rebbes were teaching. He walked in the morning, saw the Rebbes were teaching Gemara, and he saw on the blackboards from the window, that there were equations, chemistry and mathematics and physics, different things they understood. The same students who learn Gemara in the morning learn secular studies in the afternoon. And there's no contradiction between learning theology, what they call theology, learning Torah and studying secular studies. And in Europe, whoever goes to university doesn't go to a theological seminary. So he was wondering, how come by them there's a steer? How come by us there's no steer? So there are a lot of simple terutzim. It's Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah does make any sense. So anybody who has a brain knows that Avodah Zarah does make sense. If you study physics, chemistry, biology, mathematics, Avodah Zarah doesn't fit in. So it's, ours is a true religion. The same Bari Olam who created the world, gave the Torah. So there are no contradictions. Another simple teretz is that they have to take an oath of celibacy. Some of them take an oath of poverty. Crazy on top of crazy. Celibate and poor also. Anyway, so he, it didn't occur to him, these possible terutzim. He thought the only terutz is that we learn b'chavrusa. They don't have a chavrusa system. So he went into Dr. Lamb's office on the fifth floor across the street. And Dr. Lamb usually, B'derach Klal, was running around Arba Kamsoats raising money for the yeshiva. B'mikre, he happened to be in his office. And B'mikre happened to be free. So he comes in. He was wearing plain clothes. He wasn't wearing his big day kuhuna. So he says, the secretary is Dr. Lamb available. He's up to you. She's available. He goes in and he tells me, introduces, I'm Cardinal Lustiger. And he sees in the yeshiva that they study Gemara and secular education, no stira. He thinks it's due to the chavrusa system. He'd like to bring a group of cardinals from Europe to learn about the chavrusa system. So Dr. Lem didn't have too much of a choice about it. So he said, we'll be happy to have you come. So he brought a whole bunch of cardinals. They didn't speak English and we didn't speak French. So they had to come with a translator. So they would, the first couple of times I had nothing, I wasn't there. After the third or the fourth time, they asked me to come also. They would switch which rabbein would come. So every year and a half, they came a few, every year and a half. So after he, gestorben, after Lustiger died, so the next cardinal of Paris, Yarshind, is chus, to call up by Rabbi Chalap and Dr. Lamb and to have a meeting with the rabbein and bring, so every year and a half or so, they would come and discuss some topic. We should have shitut pula, we should work together on something. They all knew Rabbi Soloveitchik wrote a whole essay. What's it called? Confrontation, I think, in English. They knew the confrontation essay. What issues were allowed to join with him? Only on social issues, not allowed to join on any theological issues. Every time they came, they tried to make a social issue out of everything. So I remember on one occasion, I happened to be there. So the Cardinal of Paris comes. When he would give his drasha, he would read in Sebrach in English, he had it written, typed up, so he would read it. He didn't know English well, though. So the rest of the conversation was, they would speak in French, and they'd translate, or translate, we would speak in English, and he'll translate back again. So on one occasion, he was reading the drasha after Lusa J passed away, the next cardinal, I forgot his name. So he's delivering a whole drasha that Yeshiva University is a center of modern orthodoxy, and Rabbi Soloveitchik is the father of modern orthodoxy. And how can you be modern orthodox? Isn't it a contradiction? Modern means you got around crazy same-sex marriages and all them shugasin. How can it be modern orthodox? So you understand that it's based on a legal principle, adina the malchus adina, that we follow the law of the land, so you can do whatever you want. So he wants to know, how does that work? How can it be orthodox and do kol davar aser at the same time? So every time I was there, I think every time when I wasn't there also, Dr. Lim would always be mopsic in the middle of the presentation, and he would say, it's not correct, and he would end the whole thing. So he said, Dina Machusa Dina just means you have to pay tax. It has nothing to do with the way you live. That was the end of the whole conversation. Dina Machusa Dina, you got to pay tax. So that's what the Gemara, the main in the Gemara, Amar Shmuel, Shmuel's the one, said, Dina Machusa Dina. Why do you have to pay taxes? How do you know you have to pay taxes? So the Rambam, so the Ran and the Dorm, everybody knows the Ran and the Dorm. Adaf Chav Ches. People don't know the first 25 blood in the Dorm. They don't know the last blood where the Dorm ends on 90 blood. One Ran and the Dorm, everybody knows. Dina Machus Adina doesn't apply in Eretz Yisrael. It only applies all over the world. Why? So the Ran explains that the country belongs to the king, the king of England. Now, the king of England and Netherlands, whatever, there's a king. So the king owns the country. If you want to live in his country, you got to pay rent. How much rent does he charge? So he makes a cheshbon, income tax. You got to pay taxes. That's the rent. So that's only by medvar mamurim in any country other than Eretz Yisrael. But in Eretz Yisrael, Kodesh Baruch Hu is the melech. And Eretz Yisrael, the Baruch Hu invites all of the Jews to live in Eretz Yisrael. He wants everybody to live in Eretz Yisrael. No one has a right to charge me rent. The Baruch Hashem gave me, he's the Baal HaBos, Ki Li Kol Haaretz. Look on the Sfarna, on that pasuk, it says, Ki Li Kol Haaretz. All the other countries belong to the king, except Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Baruch Hashem. The Baruch Hashem gave permission to all the Jews to live in Eretz Yisrael. So you don't have to pay any taxes in Eretz Yisrael. There's paying taxes based on rent. That's the Shita Saran. So the Ran Shita is absolutely not accepted. You look on Chosh Mishpat, and not accepted. The Rishonim have different opinions, and the Ran's opinion has not been accepted. It basically doesn't even have honorable mention in the Shulchan Aruch. They throw in a little bit. There used to be a Rama, nobody holds like that. What is it based on? So the Bir Agro in Shulchan Aruch says, and it would appear the Rama holds like that, the Bir Agro in Shulchan Aruch says that Shmuel L'shitosai in the second parak in Sanhedrin. A lot of yeshivas, they learn Sanhedrin because there's a lot of ketzos and yeshivas on the first parak. So they want to learn. There's a yeshiva, many years ago, I spent two summers giving shurim in yeshiva at Kiryat Arba. They also learned Sanhedrin, but they started from the second parak. They weren't interested in all the ketzos and they were interested in the Malchus Yisrael. Second parak has all the dinim, Amelech. So they started from the second parak. Different interests there. So the Gemara in the second parak talks about Parsha Samelach. When Bnei Yisrael pressured Shmuel Anovi, they don't want to have a Novi. They want to have a Melech. So Shmuel was very insulted. What's wrong with me? You don't like the way I run the country? He was basically the unofficial Melech. They wanted a Melech. So Shmuel Anovi warns them. He reads the riot act to them. He says, you've got to take a Melech. You have to realize what you're getting yourself into. He's going to take your daughter, says Pilakshim. He's going to charge you tax, and he's going to do this and that and the other thing, a whole bunch of things. So the Gemara has a machlokes, Rabbi Shmuel. That Parsha Samelach, the whole drasha that Shmuel gave the tzibur trying to dissuade them from taking a melech, they say, Kol ha'omer Parsha Samelach, melech osobo, these are the evils of the king, shaloi kidin, a melech mutabo, maybe these are the rights of the king. So we pass, Kol ha'omer Shmuel, Kol ha'omer Parsha Samelach, melech mutabo. So the Bir Agro in Chosha Mishpat says, one of the things that it says in Parsha Melech, he's going to levy taxes, and he's going to make you pay taxes. So you see that Dina Machus Adina. See that Dina Machus Adina. It's talking about Eretz Yisrael. The original pasuk is an Eretz Yisrael. How can the Ran say? The Ran totally is not like it. The Ran holds, the Ran quotes a name of Balei HaTosfos that paying taxes based on rent, since the country belongs to the Melech. Melech has a right to say, you want to live in my country, I charge you rent. How much rent am I going to charge? Depending on income tax. We're going to make a whole system. It has to be reasonably fair. If it's unfair, then the Rishonim have a lashon. Gazlanusa de Malchusa is not din, only din of the Malchusa, if it's fair laws. Let's say they charge the Jews more taxes than the non-Jews. Or they charge the doctors more taxes than other people. So if they have graduated taxes, people who earn more money pay a higher percentage. People who earn less pay a lower percentage. So that has a mocker in Mishnayis and pay. I think that that's considered reasonable. That's not unreasonable. But if they just charge Jews more tax or Scandinavians more tax, that's not fair. If they charge a certain Bali Malacha, they charge doctors more taxes. If they charge doctors more taxes because they make more money, that's fair. But if they just charge certain Bali Malacha more tax, that's not fair. That's called Chamsanut to Malchusa. Under the communists, that's what they used to say. The communists would be very unfair. They would take away someone's property and give it to someone else. So that was all. Avraham Soloveitchik was involved a little bit. He used to say it's all Gazlanusa de Malchusa. That's not Dina de Malchusa. Avraham Soloveitchik used to use the lotion. In Sodom also they had laws, but the laws were so unfair. So that was Sodom was Chamsanusa de Malchusa. So the laws have to be fair. And the Rambam's lotion is not. The Rambam quotes the din. So he says, even a non-Jewish king in Chutz Lord's also did the Machus HaDin, but the original did the Machus HaDin. So when the Jewish king in Eretz Yisrael, Jewish king, non-Jewish king, any country in the world, that's the right of the king. Yeah. The Rambam writes, whoever doesn't pay taxes, Hareza Gozal Menas HaMelech, he's stealing, he's cheating from the king. The taxes used to go to enrich the king. If you live in a democracy, the whole yisoid of taxation is totally different. You look at the Orach Chaim and Hilchos Beis HaKnesses, after Hilchos Tzilo, have Hilchos Beis HaKnesses a little bit. So the Mishnah Bura quotes the Dinim from Choshen Mishpat, from Hilchos Shluchim Meshutfim. There's a section of Choshen Mishpat. That section is a lot word for word from every section of Shulchan Aruch. Is based on a different region. When you learn Yeridei Chelek Aleph, so it's all based on the Rashbon, the Torah's Habayis. When you learn Choshen Mishpat, a lot of the Simonim, a lot of straight word for word from the Rambam, a lot of straight from the Sefer HaTrumos. Sefer HaTrumos was the Talmud of the Ramban. Not to be confused with the Sefer HaTrumah, but the Rabbeinu Baruch, who is a Baal HaTosfos, the Talmud of the Rabbeinu Tam, so that's a different Sefer. The Sefer HaTrumos was a Sfardi. Different sections on Shulchan, some based on the Torah's Abayis. Hilchos Abayis is all based on the Ramban and the Rosh. Different sections on Shulchan are based on different Rishonim. So the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Beis HaKnesses says, look in the Chosh Mishnah, Hilchos Shluchim Meshutvim, that it says, B'nei Hu'ir Kaifin Zeh to build the Beis HaKnesses and to build Ramosha as a tshuva, to build a mikveh. The mikveh is kaid into the Beis HaKnesses. Why do they have the right to be kaid for each other? It's midin shutvim. What shutvim? When shutvim? I never became a shutv. I was born in the city, and I'm a melei lira. I married a girl from the city. I married a girl down the block. I never agreed to become a shutv. So apparently, sometimes there's a shutvus where people join together into the shutvus, and sometimes the halacha makes them into shutvim. Sometimes they're forced into a shutvus. If we all share a certain issue together, like we all live in the city, so we need water purification. So we all have a din of shutvim, we can be koyfim zeh to chip in money to have the water purified. We don't want to get sick when we drink the water. We want mail delivery, so that's the federal government takes care of that. We need highways. So some people don't drive cars, they don't need any highways, they stay home all the time. But it depends on Raif. The din is, let's say you have a shutfim. Let's say you have 11 shutfim and they have a store. E.J. Corvettes used to be 11 Jewish Korean veterans. That's the Rosh Hashanah, E.J. Corvettes. 11 Jewish veterans that were friendly in the army, so they went into business together. Then they went out of business. They closed it. The Carvetz used to be a famous store, and they closed down already. So let's say they have a machlekes, what they should do at the end of the year. So many of them decide, we shouldn't take any profit this year. We should put all the profits back in and open a branch in Paris and in London, and next year we'll make even more money. And some of them say, I don't care about the Paris, and I want my profit. So it says in Chosh Mishpat, you go Bosaroyf. Whenever you have shoot, you go Bosaroyf. What's the mocker? How do you know? So the Biragro says, the mocker is the Pasuk and Parshas Mishpatim. Acharam Lahatis. The Pasuk doesn't only go on Dayonim with his abdesin together, it goes on any shutfim, and you go Bosaroyf days. If the guy's not happy, says, so you share in the shutfis to someone else, and they'll go along. You can't paralyze the shutfis. So let's say in New York, so a lot of people have cars and they want to have highways to be able to travel. So the highways are paid for by the state. It's not paid for by the municipality. Maybe some highways are paid for by the federal government. I don't know. Some things, mail delivery is taken care of by the federal government. And other things are taken care of. So we're really shutfim on three different levels. Shutfim on a municipal level, on a state level, and on a national level, because we share certain needs together and we have a right. So all the Jewish people in the community want to have a mikveh. Some of them are ready, their wives don't go to mikveh, they're already 75 years old. So they don't want to chip in. But you always go Bosaroyf. Let's say New York City, the Shomrei Mitzvahs, the Jewish religious Jews don't use the secular schools. But the majority of the people live in New York need a secular school. Some people have older children they don't need, and religious Jews don't send their children to secular school. But the right of the people in New York need a separate secular school. So everybody has to chip in. You go Bosaroyf, everybody has to pay. So you go Bosaroyf in all these things. So the Yisoid Achiyuv in paying taxes, Bizman says, really, we're all shutfim together. And if I'm not going to pay, I'm not cheating the government. The government is over here, the secretary. If I don't pay taxes, everybody else's taxes are going to go up. I pay 10 times as much taxes as I ought to pay because there are a lot of millionaires who are a bunch of crooks, a bunch of criminals, and they're draying a cup. And some of them are in court now, former president of the United States. And it's not fair because they're not paying taxes that they're mechuyev to pay. That's why everybody else's taxes go up. So whoever doesn't pay taxes, not stealing from the Goyisha government, he's stealing from all the Jewish partners, stealing from all the other partners in the Shutfis. That's like the E.J. Corvettes. One of them is not going to chip in and not going to give the money. So he's stealing from the other Shutfin. It's not Gezel. It's not Harezer Gezel Manas HaMelech doesn't imply. Harezer Gezel from the other Shutfin. So that's why this whole din, that the Ran and the Dorm, the Avchav Chesed, quoted the Bali HaTosfos, that you don't have to pay tax in Eretz Yisrael, that's only ancient history. That's in the days of the Bali HaTosfos, the days of the Gemara. That tax was just to enrich the king, and the king gives it protection. So there's a din, Talmid HaChachamim don't need protection. So the Gemara says in the first perek of Bava Basra, and the Rishonim, that Talmid HaChachamim don't have to pay tax. But Bizman HaZeh, the taxes is a shutfis. What do you mean, Talmid HaChacham? You don't have to pay shutfis. He wants his mail delivered also. He wants his water purified. He needs highways. He has to drive places. Everybody has to pay taxes. Whoever doesn't pay taxes is not Harezer Gezel Manas HaMelech, but Harezer Gezel from all the other shutfim. It's Gezel Yisro. It's not Gezel Akum. The idea of Dina Mechus Adina, the Yikar Din goes on paying taxes. If a person doesn't pay tax, he's a gazlan. The Rambam says, in the days of the Rambam, he's Gezel Manas HaMelech, and today it's Gezel Yisrael. So he should really be Pasul Le'edis, a Rasha de Chamas, the original Rasha, Al-Tashi Yadcham Rasha, Elias Eid Chamas, that's Rasha de Chamas. A person who steals from others becomes Pasul Le'edis. The Gemara has Ganef Nisan, Ganef Tishrei, Akosha Leila. Ganef Nisan, Ganef Tishrei means I work on a farm. And then in Nisan and Tishrei, there's a lot of bushels around, a lot of food around. So someone, one of the workers, takes home a little bit. He cheats a little bit. So since it's, unfortunately, a lot of people are Meir Heter, he has so much he doesn't need. So whenever someone doesn't are there, it's Meir Heter. So we consider it as if it's b'shogeg. It's not really b'shogeg, it's b'mezin. He knows that it's wrong. But Benegat to Psuleidus, we say Moirahat, it depends how much he's cheating. If he cheat a little bit on income tax, okay, Moirahat. If he's cheating millions of dollars, billions of dollars, so it's also Moirahat, probably not. But that's an issue. Sometimes a person that cheats on income tax will be Psuleidus. It depends. If he's only cheating a little bit, Shaykh to say Moirahat. Gemara has a case. The undertakers, the Jewish undertakers, used to do funerals on Yom Tov. On Yom Tov Rishon, the Gemara says Yom Tov Rishon, you have to have the Kfura Yidei Amimim. You have to have Amir and Anoch. Yom Tov Sheni, you can do Yidei Yisrael. So they used to do funerals on Yom Tov Rishon. And the Rabbanim used to put them in Cherim. So the Gemara says, they're kosher legis. You can't say Moira Hetta if we put them in Cherim. No, they interpreted that the Cherim is that they needed a kapar. Because it's like Chatei Bishvil Shetiske. They thought they're doing a big mitzvah by burying the person Jews should bury, the Kavod HaMeish Jews should bury. Why they put them in Cherem? Because they need a kapara because they did a malacha. They interpreted that they're not doing anything else. So it was also Moret. The Gemara says, whenever Chachter say Moret, so you don't say that they're posaleidus. But basically, if a person cheats a lot of income tax, then it becomes posaleidus. The Dina Mechus Adina only has to do with Dina Mominus. It has no application at all to Yisra Heta. Rabbi Soloveitchik told over the story. He was aggravated about it. It sounded like a joke. In the early years, he used to go by train, and then the later years, he used to go by plane to go back and forth to Boston. So he said once he was going by plane, and he saw a Reform rabbi there, and he was all burnt up, he was all angry. Why the Reform permit a woman to remarry if she has a secular divorce? She never got a get. So he walked over to this Reform rabbi. He said, how do you allow the woman to remarry if she doesn't have a get? It's a posik on a service, how come you're all excited? So he says, Dr. Soloveitchik, I'm surprised at you. You don't know we had a convention in 1936 and we decided that you don't need a get. What do you mean? You can't make a convention. A pasuk in the Chumash. Dr. Soloveitchik, I'm surprised that we followed the Talmudic dictum. Dina the Machus Adina. So she has a divorce from the government, so she's allowed to remarry. So he said, but you perform a marriage. Why don't you just let them get married by the justice of the peace? So the Dr. Soloveitchik, surprised at you. When you get married, you say a blessing. So that's a religious act. When you get divorced, you don't say any brachas. So that's Dina the Machus. That's not a religious act. So he's right. The Reform rabbi is right. One you say a bracha, one you don't, but it's still Yisra V'Heta. Dina Machus Adina doesn't apply at all to Yisra V'Heta. Dina Machus Adina only applies in the area of Dina Mominus. It's interesting. There's a Mishnah in Yesh Neuchlin that I guess next week we'll talk about that Yerusha, but the Mishnah Yesh Neuchlin, part of what it says there is a din masna masha kosim atara tonight bottle. Unless dovishim mamamin. Dovishim mamamin is machlegs of mayor abuda, and we pass like abuda. Masna masha kosim atara dovishim mamamin tonight came. So, what if I make a masna masha kosim atara on Yerusha while I'm alive? I make a tzavoya that I want the sons and the daughters, everyone should get equal Yerusha. That's against the passing of Chumash. The daughters don't get any Yerusha. So, the Gemara says, even though it should be din mamamin, it's masna masha kosim atara doesn't help. Why not? So the Rambam writes, we don't know what the marker of the Rambam is. The Rambam writes, because the Pasuk says in Chumash, Vayisazos lechem l'chukas mishpat, when it's introducing, when Bereis Lavchar had the Shaila, whether they get Yerusha or not. So the Torah has the whole parsha of Yerusha. So chukah usually means Yisra V'Heta, mishpat usually means Dini Mamonis. So the Rambam quotes a drasha, we don't know where he got it from, the Rambam quotes a drasha, chukas mishpat, even though we were talking about dollars and cents, talking about money, as the din like Yisra V'Heta. You don't treat it like Mammon, it's treated like Yisra V'Heta. Masa Mashkas Matar doesn't help by Yisra V'Heta. So, din and Machus Adina cannot apply to Yerusha. In the 1500s, it was very common, many of the Jews who lived in the Arab countries surrounding Eretz Yisrael in the Middle East over there, so many of them, when someone would die, they would divide the Yerusha according to the din and the Machus. So there was a young Talmud Chacham who lived in Tzfat during the lifetime of the Beis Yosef. Rabbeinu Yontem Tzahalon Maritatz. There were two people in the same generation were known as Maritatz. One was Rabbi Yosef Taitatzak, he was the rabbi in Constantinople. And one was the Marit, Rabbeinu Yontem Tzahalon. So the Maritatz Tzahalon, he became famous. The Beis Yosef had already passed away, and the Beis Yosef had three sons. So, at least three sons for this story. So one son was married and he died and he left no children. So his wife needed chalitza. And there were two sons of the Beis Yosef, I think, who could possibly do the chalitza. So one of them was married already, one was single. So the one who, I think that's how this story goes, the one who was married was the older one. So the Gemara says, mitzvah begodli yabeh. The mitzvah's the Sephardim still practice Yibum. Ashkenazim don't practice Yibum. There was a machlokes hatanoim and Yevamis. Do you have to do the Yibum l'shma? What if I'm only marrying the girl because she's from a very famous family, or she's a very, very wealthy family, or she's very good looking, and otherwise I wouldn't do the Yibum. So one Tana, Abishol was of the opinion, it's the most Rishonim assume it's a din d'rabban. Abishol was of the opinion, you have to do it l'shma. If you do it shelo l'shma because of money, or because of her good looks, or because of the yichus, that is kipagea be'esha sochiv. It's every time you do yibum, it's an issue of an esha sach. So it's only esha sach has no, she had no children, her husband died. Then there's the din of yibum. So one time it says, and that's the shayla. How many times did the psak changed over the years? There was a Mishnah Rishonah, then a Mishnah Achrayna. The consensus changed over the years. The dinim during my lifetime, the consensus changed. Dinim from before the, I was born in the middle of the Second World War, but they were, before the Second World War, they were over the Paskin Paskin one way, and then after the Second World War, they were over the Paskin Paskin the other way, certain dinim and Avelus, other things. So the days of the Tanoim also you have. Avbez Shalachrayim Amru, whom are called Mishnah Achrayna, they changed the Psach. So that's a question. How many times did the psak change on this issue? The din always was that you do yibum. You do yibum. You're not worried about what kavanas the guy has. There was a period of time that Abishol's opinion was the majority opinion. Then the shahadat, how many times did it go back and forth? So the Sephardim are of the opinion that Abishol was ultimately rejected. And you do yibum, you still do yibum. And the Ashkenazim, Tosfos and Yevamos quotes, the Ashkenazi psak was that we do follow Abishol, that we don't trust people that they're doing the Yibum L'Shem Shemaim, so we don't allow anybody to do Yibum. When they founded the Medina in Tovshin in 1948, so they had a Rabbanut, so what are they going to do? The Ashkenazim are not going to do Yibum, the Sephardim are not going to do Yibum. So they got all the Sephardi Rabbanim to agree to a Heskeim, they're also not going to perform Yibum. They're going to encourage everyone to do Chalitza. At that time, Chacham Avadya was a rabbi in Egypt, I think in Cairo, he wasn't in Eretz Yisrael then. So he wrote a whole tshuva. It's in his collection of tshuvas. The Haskeim Ein Lezeh Shum Tokef. The Sephardic rabbi had no right to pasken against the Sephardic psak, and the Sephardim should still continue to do yibum. I don't know what he did when he was the chief rabbi, but he still stuck to that they allowed everyone. Whatever. So this, the Maritatz, this Abyantav Tzahalon, he got involved, he became famous because he wrote a whole tshuva against the rabbi in Tzfat. When the Beis Yosef son died and the older son was going to do Yibum, he was already married to another wife, so he's going to take a second wife. He's going to do Yibum, he's going to be a second wife. So the girl was Rav Chaim Vital's sister. What was her name? Forgot already. Yonah? Forgot already. He had a name that by us is a man's name, but her it was a girl's name. So she was Rav Chaim Vital's sister, and the father told her she shouldn't agree to Yibum because he's not going to treat her like, he's going to treat the first wife like her, he's going to treat her like a maid. And it's a big age difference also. So he said, don't agree to Yibum. And the boy only assisted, he wants Yibum. The Sephardi Psak, you do Yibum. So it was a stalemate. So the rabbi apparently in the community told the girl, one fine day, on a Monday or Thursday morning when they were laying in Kriyas HaTorah. So the rabbi told the Yavama, she should come into school, shul, in the men's section, in the Beis HaKnesses HaRizal, the women's section all the way upstairs. So the girl tiptoes into the men's section. She walks in front of the Yavam. She spits on the floor and she walks out. People thought that she lost her mind, what she's spitting on the floor. So the rabbi said, that's it. Now we're going to force him to do chalitza. Because the Gemara says, Yavam Shirokika Tachlot. If the Yavam did the Rikike, he make the guy do chalitza. So this Maritatz wrote a whole shuvah that is not correct. It's a different case. Doesn't apply in this case. So he became famous for that. So he writes in one of his shuvahs, when he was younger, they used to send him to travel around in all of the Arab countries in the Middle East there, surrounding Eretz Yisrael, to encourage the people that they should not follow Dina the Machus and Yerusha. We have the Dina and the Chosha Mishpat. The Dina is, the Rambam says that we treat Yerusha like Yisra the Heta, so Dina Machusa doesn't apply. But Barmadein and Barmadein, even if you don't hold like that Rambam, there's a Taisus in Yibam, it also says like the Rambam, that Yerusha is treated like Yisra the Heta. I said before, the Rambam has a drasha from a pasuk. Even though it's mishpat, they treat it like a chukah. They treat Yerusha as if it's Issa v'het. So we don't know. The Gemara doesn't have that drasha. We have that drasha appears in the Medrash HaGadol. But Rabbi Soloveitchik always used to say, the Medrash HaGadol, they think, was written after the days of the Rambam, and they took things from the Rambam. The Medrash HaGadol was not the source of the Rambam. The Rambam was probably the source of the Medrash HaGadol. It was written later. So we don't know exactly what the marker of the Rambam is, but that's what the Rambam says. We treat Yerusha as if it's Issa v'Heta. But even without that, the Maritatz writes, the Dina's Dina Machusa Dina only applies if both parties are Jewish. But if one is a Jew, one is a non-Jew, so the Dina Machusa doesn't apply. Then we follow Choshe Mishpat. We follow Choshe Mishpat. Are there any cases where both parties are Jewish and you still apply Dina Machusa Dina? It should only apply. That's what in Shulchan Aruch they quote, the Anu Chash Mishpat, they quote the Chuvas HaRashba. Whenever both parties are Jewish, you don't follow Dina Machus. We follow Chosha Mishpat. We follow the Dina and the Gemara. Are there any cases where you do follow Dina the Machus? So the Shach there has a few exceptions. The Shach and the Ramah, they have a few exceptions to the rule. So one exception to the rule is the Shach claims, whenever the Halacha has nothing to say on the case, then we follow Dina Machus. So that's what some say, corporations. Halacha doesn't say a word about corporations. So we should follow Dina the Malchus on that. Rav Moshe holds that that's not, so the Chazon Ish writes, it doesn't exist. Chazon Ish writes, the Shach says, whenever the Halacha has nothing to say, there is no such case, the Halacha has what to say on every case. Halacha either says that you're entitled or I'm entitled. You don't know what the din is, so break your head and figure out what the din is. Taka, what's the din by corporations? So that's an ongoing debate for quite a few years since they introduced corporations along with limited liabilities. Since they introduced corporations, it's been over 100 years, I think. So the din of the Machusa is that it belongs to the property, belongs to the dummy corporation, doesn't belong to the people. So let's say I'm a shutef in a corporation in a bakery where they have chametz. Am I in violation of Bal Yerua Bal Yimotzeh? So many say no, the chametz doesn't belong to me. I have shares in the corporation, but the chametz is owned by the dummy corporation. So Rav Moshe says, we don't accept that. There is no halacha, it doesn't have such a thing. A dummy corporation owns things. We say that it's limited liabilities. There's no shibir aguf. Okay, that's what they made up in advance. I can buy merchandise and I make a tenai with you. I don't accept personal. I don't accept shibir aguf. You only have a shibir nechosam on my property, if you agree. Whenever you have a corporation, it's limited liabilities. That's what Moshe said, that's good. But there is no such thing that the dummy corporation owns it. And others say no, that the halacha has such a thing. We have tzedakah. We have hegdish. Hegdish is not, there's no person, no human being who owns it. Hegdish is a chal Hashem hegdish. Tzedakah belongs to tzedakah. It's not owned by a person or by a group of people. It's a chal Hashem by them. They're like a corporation. So some hold that that's included in what the Shach said. Whenever the halacha has nothing to say on the case, so then we should follow Dina Machus. Chazon Ish says that it doesn't exist. The halacha has what to say. You have to break your head and figure out what does the halacha say about corporations. So Moshe holds that we don't accept such a thing. It doesn't exist. So that's a big shaila. Yeah. When else do you have two parties are Jewish and you follow Dina Machus? So this, the Mordechai says this. The other one, the Shach said on his own, whenever the halacha is not today. The Shach quotes the Mordechai. Let's say I have a store. I have a grocery store, whatever. I have a clothing store. And I deal a business with Jews and non-Jews alike. So if I'm dealing with a Jew, I have to screw my head on one way and have in mind all the halachas. If I deal with a non-Jew, I have to screw my head on differently and have in mind the din of Malchusa. Most of the customers are going to be Nochem. We live in Golis, most of the customers. I don't live in Borough Park or Flatbush. I live in New York, Manhattan. So most of the customers are going to be good. So that's what the Mordechai says in the name of the Baalei HaTosfos. What if you make up in advance? We're not talking, I got into an accident and I smashed into your car. How much do I have to pay? There's a din in Shulchan Aruch about that. How much do I have to pay? We're talking a person enters into a contract. I sell you merchandise or I borrow money. So they're dealing about that. So if I make I entered into it out of my own free will, both parties. I'm going to work for somebody. I'm going to sell a merchandise. So if we made up in advance, if there'll be any dispute, we want to follow din in the Malchus. That's called Tanai Shabbamah Mekayim. Masna Mashikos Baratav Dav Shabbamah Metorakam. Yipaskan Ak Rebuta against Rabbeya. So by Yerusha, maybe it's called Isa Veheta, the Rama holds, but by Didi Maminus, called Tanai Shabbamah good. So that's the Shach quotes that from the Mordechai. If you deal in business with Jews and non-Jews, since when you deal with the non-Jews, you have a mind, according to the Machusa, even when you deal with the Jews in business, it's as if you said in advance, I'm selling you the merchandise, I'm going into business with you, on the understanding that we're going to follow Dina the Machusa. So call Tanai Shemimam in this kind. So then you follow, then the two Jews follow Dina the Machusa. What's another case where you follow Dina, where two Jews, both parties are Jewish, and you follow Dina the Machusa? So Rav Henkin wrote it true. Before Rav Moshe came to America, Rav Henkin was the big poysik in New York. So he, at that time, the many Jews had factories, and they would only hire Jews to work in the factories. And they had apartment buildings that would only rent to Jews. They wouldn't rent to non-Jews. Why? Because they were wise guys. Because there's a law of minimum wages, and they planned not to pay the minimum wages. So if you're going to get a guy working for you, he's going to sue you in court. But if both parties are Jewish, Dina Machusa doesn't apply. So you don't have to pay the minimum wages. So they would rent apartments. And if you don't give steam in the wintertime, you can deduct from your rent. You can call the government. But that's a Dina Machusa. Whenever both parties are Jewish, so Dina Machusa doesn't apply. So Rav Henkin wrote a tshuva many years ago. The Pashtun says that he's right. Avner Nezer has a lot about this, that whenever the government makes a takonim, if they tikkan oilam, that's binding even if all the parties are Jewish. If they set up a whole legal system, every country, every civilized country has to have a legal system, and they have to have courts to paskan the laws. So the Pashta says that's included from the Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Enoch. One of the Sheva Mitzvahs is Dinim. What's included in Dinim? So the Pashta says every government has the right to set up a whole legal system, and they have to set up courts to paskan Mishpat Tzedek. So we have the Chosh Mishpat, we have our own system. We don't follow the Goyish system. But whenever the government makes takana, like minimum wages, or they have maximum prices you can charge for necessities, you can't make whatever profit you want on milk, on cheese, on eggs, on meat. These are necessities. On ice cream, let the guy not eat ice cream. Doesn't eat cookies. Doesn't eat potato chips. But on necessities, there are laws. There's a maximum amount of profit you're allowed to make on that. So whenever it's a government makes a law, the Tikkun Hamdina, the Bati Dinim should have made that law. If the Bati Dinim are not making the law, then the government makes the law. So that's Rav Henkin thought that's binding. Even if all the parties involved are Jewish, he still says Dinim Achus Adina over there. So Dinim Achus Adina applies. You have to pay taxes. Dinim Achus sometimes applies that the law of the country is binding. We have, take for example, we have a Mishnah in Bava Metzia, Sechas HaOmnim, Sechas HaPoilim, I forgot already which one. The Gemara there quotes the Pesukim in Bochei Nafshi. Yetzi Adam Lefoloi V'Lavadosai Adei Orev, that if you have a job working, day worker is mechuyev to work from something like Malos HaShachat till Tzeisah Kecholim. So the guy has a job in the summertime. He comes at 9 and he leaves at 5. From 9 to 5. Comes the end of the week, he wants his salary. So the boss says, what do you mean? You didn't work from Malos HaShachat till Tzeisah Kecholim? I'm gonna only pay you half the money. He said, what, are you crazy? Nobody works from Malos HaShachat till Tzeisah Kecholim. So that's the Mishnah. Hakol Kaminik Amdina. If you would have made a Tanai in advance, I want you, I'm going to pay you this salary, and all you have to do is work from 9 to 5. It's not a din everybody has to work from Alos HaShachat to Tzeisek HaKholim. That's the din if you live in a country where there's no Minig Amdina. But if the Minig Amdina is in this field, you work from 9 to 5 or 9 to 3, whatever it is, so the boss can't say at the end of the week, you didn't put in the full day's work. That's what the Mishnah says. Hakol Kaminik Amdina. He did the full work. That's where the Yerushalmi says, Minig Oikar Halacha. So the Magen Avraham in Hilchas Purim talks about that. The Minig is that you clap Haman. When you clap Haman, you make a lot of noise, and sometimes you miss a couple of words. So some said, Minig Oikar Halacha. You don't have to hear every word of the Megillah. The Minig is you make noise, and Minig Oikar Halacha. So Magen Avraham says, wrong. Minig Oikar Halacha is only in Didi Mominus. If you would have made it tonight in advance, all you have to do is work from 9 to 5 and 9 to 3, and you get a full week's salary. If you would have made it tonight, call Tanai Shemam Amakai, even though you didn't make it tonight. But if that's the Minig Hamdina, so it's self-understood that the guy's only going to work from 9 to 5. If he wanted me to work from Alois HaShachat, he should have said so. And if he doesn't say, HaKol Kaminig Hamdina. So that's what the Yerushalmi says, that this is an exception to the rule, that Minig Oika Halacha, the Halacha usually is, HaMoitzim Mechavera Olav Araya, whenever there's a Safik moment, and the Muchzak calls on to the moment. So the boss is the muchzik. The boss doesn't want to pay him the full salary. The boss says he didn't work from Alos HaShachat to Tzeisah Kecholim. Here we say, the minig hamdina, that you only work from 9 to 5, is okay, the halacha b'amotz mechavel of haraya. He has haraya. The minig hamdina is an umdid in the muchzak that everybody works. It's as if they said in advance, from 9 to 5. You don't have to, even if you didn't say it, it's self-understood. But you don't say minig oka halacha, in Isavaheta. Minigal Kaloch is only Didi Mominus. Rav Soloveitchik was asked a question. There are certain locations in the New York area where it's Yadua that they don't charge sales tax. Mukhiv to pay sales taxes on the merchant, I think. The one who's selling is Mukhiv to charge tax, give it to the government. So there's certain places where they don't charge sales tax. So he said that the one who shops in that store is supposed to insist on paying the sales tax. And if he doesn't pay the sales tax, he's Zoyban Lifneiver. He's causing the balabasa of the store to violate Gezel. He's Gezel, he's not paying the tax, so he's cheating from all the other people in the community. Because everybody else's taxes are higher because of that. Where else do we apply Dina de Machusa Dina? So the Shach in Yerideya, in Hilchus Ribbis, has the following idea. There's one area of Halacha that clearly depends on Minig Hamdina. There's a difference between Kesef and Shoveh Kesef. When we get married, so we always give a ring. There are more quotes from the Tikkuni Zoya. That the minig is in the Kaddish b'shove kesef, you give a ring. Are there any dinim with shove kesef is lavke kesef? So the Gemara in Bcheris has a brice on daf nun aleph, on nun beis, I forgot. The Gemara says there are three areas of halacha b'shove kesef is lavke kesef. So one is pinyan ma'aser sheni, that's the famous din. It says, v'tzarta kesef b'yadecha kesef sheyesh olav tzura. We're learning brachas this year. Shlosh Shachlu, the Gemara quotes that the Tzadak Kesef around Mem Zaynam and Beis. So the Gemara quotes Pinyan Ma'aser Sheni can only be done with Kesef. It can't be poided with Shove Kesef. Pinyan Hegdish doesn't have to be Kesef. Pinyan Hegdish has to be Metaltal. It has to be Dovah Metaltal Begufa Mame. It can't be Karka Avodim and Shtar. It can't be poided Hegdish and the karka avadim shtas. But other shabbat kesef are accepting. But pina ma'aseh sheni tas b'davki kesef she'esh olav tzura. That's a din deraisa. That's a pasuk. Then the second din is machzis hashekel every year. When they collect machzah shekel for the purpose that bizman shein beis mikdash time, you don't have machzah shekel, but bizman al mikdash you have machzah shekel. So the Gemara has the price. Machzah shekel has to be davke kesef. You're not yotze if you give shele kesef. And Moshe Feinstein has in his Chubis that's a discussion in the Meforshim. We don't have any Babli on Shkom, we have Yerushalmi. So that's a discussion in the Meforshim on Yerushalmi. Depends on how you read Yerushalmi. Whether that din is a din deraisa, a din derabon. So Moshe writes in his Chubis that he wrote a chibur on Yerushalmi when he was running away from the communists. He lived under the communists in Russia for quite a while. And when he was running away, so his chibur on Yerushalmi, part of it was stolen from him, part of it was lost, and part of it he left behind. And he always was bemoaning the fact he felt that was his main accomplishment of life. He wrote a chibur on Yerushalmi. Second best by him was the Dibras Moshe. And the Igras Moshe that used to shake out shuvahs between Mechamar. That was 1, 2, 3 by him. The Dibras Moshe used to prepare a whole week for the shir on Friday. Every Friday he had a shir in MTJ. The Dibras Moshe are very not user-friendly. They're very long. So that hardly anybody reads them. So they have a whole group of people now who are working on it to rewrite all the Dibras Moshe that people should be able to use it. So Rav Moshe writes in his Chuvis, I explain to my sefer on Yerushalmi that's a din deraisa. He says, it's a din deraisa. The third din, everybody knows, is a din derabanan. The third din is that when you come to be Erla Regal on Pesach Shavuos, because you have to purchase Erla Sriya using cash. You can't use Shavuot Kesef. So Rashi quotes the Yerushalmi, Rashi and Pcheres, and that daf, Nun Aleph, on the base, whatever is there. Rashi quotes Yerushalmi explaining why they made such a din derabanan. But the first one for sure is the Raisa Pinyin Maaseh Sheni. So that's the question. How do you decide what is Kesef and what is Shavuot Kesef? Kesef means silver coins. So the Shach says no. Kesef means legal tender. You have to have a legitimate government, and the government declares what is legal tender. It says on the dollar bill, this is legal tender. If I owe money to anyone, I can be yotze the piron achay by giving this cash. So legal tender is considered Kesef. Everything else, it doesn't have to be silver coins. The word kesef means silver, it's a different thing. But here, kesef as opposed to shavuot kesef means whatever is legal tender. That's a big shaila. The Chasam Sofer raises an issue whether paper dollars, whether paper money, you said paper money in Europe also, is that also considered kesef? Or is that considered shtoris? Why should it be? So Yitzchak has a tshuva. He said, doesn't see what the paper money is legal tender. So it's kesef. Why should it not be kesef? So they say, I think the Oineg Yontef has a tshuva about this. There's a stira in the tshuva of the Chasam Sofer. So it would appear that what was bothering the Chasam Sofer was that a $1 bill and a $2 bill and a $5 bill, a $10 bill, a $100 bill, is there a $1,000 bill? I don't know, whatever. So the dollar bills are all the same size. There are some countries in Europe where the $10 bill is bigger than a $5 bill, $5 is bigger than a $2 bill, $2 bill is bigger than a $1 bill. So then the Chasam Sofer would agree that that's kesef. But if they're all the same size, then he held that as dina kishtar. MC makes a chilek, some say makes a chilek, but again, the pidya maaseh sheni, that's Issa the Heter, so paper money is not kesef. Pidya aven, also, you have to do davke kesef. You can't give shtaris. You can give shavuot kesef pidya aven, but you can't give shtaris. So maybe an Issa the Heter is different from the Mamanus, so it gets involved. So that's an asik, but the paper money, despite the fact that it's legal tender, maybe it's not dina kikesef. That's an issue, a discussion in the poskim. The Chazon Ish, in one of his svarim, points out that some of the sociologists claim that money, the institution of having money, is an evil of society. If there wouldn't be any money, people wouldn't be able to cheat each other and amass so much money, wouldn't be able to become so rich. Would have been better if we would have, that's what some sociologists say, would have been better if he would have had a barter system that I give you a behemoth and you give me food, whatever. I sell you a house and you give me behemoths. Barter instead of having money. So the Chazon Ish thinks that that's ridiculous. The fact that you have a din in the Torah, opinion my Sushani, that can only be fulfilled, or Machzor Shekel, that it can only be fulfilled by giving cash. The Torah describes the perfect society. And the Torah wants the perfect society has to have cash. That's considered a perfect society. That's not an evil of society. He's supposed to have money. And in fact, I think in this week's Seder, it says, Vayava Yaakov Shalom Yerushchem, Vayichanas Pnei Ho'ir. So the Gemara in Masech Shabbos, I think on Daf Lamed Gimel, the Gemara in Masech Shabbos, Vayichanas Pnei Ho'ir, Miloshem Chein. He gave Chein to the city. What did he do? So the Gemara has three pshat. And one pshat was that he instituted a monetary system. They always had barter, and he taught them how you make a monetary system. Matbea Tiklan. Another pshat, he instituted Batim Erchat Soes. You have to take a bath once a year or twice a year. So he instituted bathhouses, public bathhouses, that makes the person will be healthier if he takes a bath. And he instituted shopping malls. Instead of every time you want to buy something, you have to go. You want food, you have to go over there. You want furniture, you have to go over there. You want clothing, you have to go over there to New Jersey and then to Connecticut. He made shopping malls for them so you can buy everything in the same place. So you see from the Gemara that this was a maila. That the Pasuk is praising Yaakov Avinu, that he gave the city chayim, that he instituted a monetary system. So the Shach points out that what's considered legal tender depends on the legitimate government. So let's say the Natura Carta, the 5.5 nitwits who belong to the Natura Carta, said they don't recognize the Israeli government. A bunch of pirates. They're bigger pirates than the Tsars in Russia. The Tsars in Russia used to be a mamish ganavim. No, the Israeli government is the worst in the history of the world. So any money that's minted by the Israeli government, pirates? So it doesn't have a din of kesef. So you can't be put in Maishushen in Eretz Yisrael on Israeli coins. So what do they use? So they use shillings. Because the Chazon Ish wrote a sefer on Trumas Masi. He says he used a shilling. Chazon Ish wrote the sefer before Hakam Samadina. So of course it was controlled by the British. He says he used a shilling. So the Natura Karta, they still stick to that. Rav Al Yashav used Israeli coins to be put in Maishushen. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, they all used Israeli coins. They all recognize the Medina. It's a shtick. The Bachim learn in the yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, the Frumi yeshiva, then they come back to America and they have this pism. The government, and I saw a bunch of pirates. So I say, how are you paid in my Sushani? They all use Israeli coins. So you say that they're not pirates. If they would be pirates, it would be Shavik Kesser. It wouldn't be Dina Kikesser. Stam shtick, that they say. Israeli government, a bunch of pirates.
Aren't all of these status of bankruptcy? Would bankruptcy be recognized with bankruptcy?
The Jew owes another Jew money, and then the Jew who owes the money goes bankrupt. Would Allah recognize that because of the Rav Henkin? So the Pashtus is the way Rav Henkin said that whatever the government makes a bankruptcy was instituted by the world. If a person makes a mistake, he can be ruined for the rest of his life. That he'll never straighten out. So they give you a break. So Takarim and Tikarim Din applies even if all the people involved are Jewish. But then we have Dinim. There's a Doros HaMeach points out there's a three-way discrepancy. There are three Toseftas that contradict each other. Two of the Toseftas are in Bava Kamma, one is in Gittin, about a doctor who was treating a patient and by mistake he harmed the patient. Medical malpractice used to be a big issue. 30, 40 years ago, it used to be a big issue in America. Medical malpractice, probably still an issue, I don't know. But so the one Tosefta says, Yechayev, one Tosefta says, Potem, one Tosefta in Gittin says, Potem, Deyonim, Chaybedin, Shammai. So which is it? Is it Chayba Potem, is it Chaybedin, Shammai? So the Osamech explains, based on the context, they're talking about three different things. The one Tosefta is at the end of the second parak in Bava Kamma, where the Mishnah in the second parak of Bava Kamma says, Odemod liyana be meshagig be memezid. But the Gemara says, Odemod liyana, money goes on Nezik. There's Nezik tzarif b'shev is b'shev city. If you chayvah b'chaveron. So the din, Odemod liyana, is on Nezik. So the Tosefta says that a roife she kilkel is chayv to pay Nezik. So you got to pay. The other Tosef is an Achayvim, where it talks about the Chamish and the Varm, Tzarit B'Shevis Boshes. Whereas you only paid Tzarit B'Shevis Boshes if there was some element of Pshia involved. Boshes you only pay if Niskavim Lachvol or Niskavim Levayesh. But if it wasn't even Niskavim Lachvol, then you don't pay Boshes. And Tzarit B'Shevis you only pay if there was some element of Pshia. So if a doctor is treating the patient and by mistake there was no Pshia at all, so then he's not chayiv at all. They are both dvarim. Only the one Tosef that says he is chayiv, right? If he kill kalus chayiv, that's nezik, because that's a corresponding to the Mishnah at the end of the second paragraph of the Kama, and the Tosef that corresponds, the Tosef does all correspond to the Mishnahs, but they have more barichas. The Tosef that talks about the abod dvarim says potter. The Tosef in Gittin that says chayiv b'dinei shemayim, potter medinei adam, that's a different case. It's from the context to see what it's talking about. There's a din, a dayan shator. Let's say people came for a din Torah, and I paskin that Reuben has to pay the money, and Reuben pays the money, and then Shimon moves away to South Africa, and we never see him again. Then I realize that I made a mistake. So the din is that the dayan shator is mechuyev to pay medina de garmi. He has to pay like an olam hamazik. He paskin wrong. He has to pay. So a lot of big Talmid HaChachamim will not want to get involved in Dinei Torah, because if he's concerned, so they'll work on Kisra Yad, they'll do other things for the. They will never want to take on a case that Din Torah, because if they realize they may make a mistake, and then they'll have to pay for the rest of their life, Medina Degarmi. So the Tanoim were concerned about this. The medical world was also concerned about the same thing. Good top-notch doctors will not want to do surgery. They may make a mistake and be choyvul b'chaver, and then they're going to sue them for medical malpractice. They make them pay everything. So the Tanoim came up with a solution, both by doctors and by dayonim. The top-notch doctors and the top-notch, not every person that has smicha and every doctor who has a license to practice, the government would, the Reish Galusa, the Nasi, would approve only the top 5% of doctors, the top 5% of dayanim, that tolo yishalmu. This man has permission to practice dinei Torah, or to practice medicine, and even if he harms if by mistake he'll pasken wrong, and you won't be able to retrieve the money, we pater him, hefke bezna hefke. We want these people to stay in dayanis, we want these doctors to stay in medicine. They don't, if they make a mistake, then they're put. So then the Mishnah has this with Takonis when they take an oilum in the middle of Gittin. You have a whole series of Mishnah. It's Pruzbal and a whole bunch of things. You have Takonis and Uchaz Gittin. There are other Takonis and Kola Tarakula. A lot of them mentioned there. So then it says, what if the Dayan, let's say, has Rishus to practice Dayanis, and he made a mistake, and he doesn't have to pay, but he's a wealthy man. And it's only $100, it's not the $500,000. So then the Tosefta says, Chai b'dinei shamayim, potem b'dayanim, he's potem b'dinei adam, because the government gave him rishus, the Reish Galusa, the Rossi gave him rishus to practice medicine to the extent that tolo yishalmu. But if he has a lot of money, then b'dinei shamayim should pay. So the same thing by bankruptcy. If you declared bankruptcy, and then later on, you started life all over again, and then you became a wealthy man again. So more correct is, both to Jews and to the non-Jews, you should really pay back every penny that you owed in the first place. You put the medina yodam, but you chai medina shamayim. If it's not going to make you broke, if it's not going to ruin you for life, then you really chai medina shamayim. And another thing, there's a Tosfos in Gittin. Tosfos, a famous Tosfos. Tosfos raises an issue. A tenacious issue is insult. And she has a child. So the child is a mamzer. So is there any way to be mitayra mamzer? So Tosfos says, based on the Gemara, yes. Let the husband send the shliach, Perek HaSholech, let the husband send the shliach to deliver a get to his wife. Let's say the wife was raped. So it's not her fault. So the husband loves his wife. He has to... So let the husband give his wife a get, Aide Shliach, and then when the Shliach left already, the husband will be Mabatal the Shliach, Shalai Befanov. You're not allowed to do that. But in this case, if it's Mabatal the Shliach, Shalai Befanov, then we say, Avkir Abon and the Kedusha Minei. If the shlich will deliver the get later, we say men atayra, the shlich is his bottle. But men derabanan, they mafkir the kedushin. So it comes out she was never married to him. So even though she gave birth to a mamzer, it'll come out she was never married, so there's not a mamzer. So Tosfos asks, so yichal mamzerim litoher. And the chachamim are concerned about that. A man's, the wife will have a mamzer, and the husband will, if he loves his wife, he'll see to it that the mamzer should become his mamzer. So Tosfos has two opinions, and one opinion is anachanami. It's legitimate. If the mamzer, if Havkir Rabbani Kedush Menesa, the child is not a mamzer. So let him do whatever he wants. So the accepted opinion is the other day in Tosfos, the general accepted opinion is the other day, that since this is a takar mipnei tikkun ha'olam, if you're abusing the system, you learned how to beat the system. The wife had a mamzer. She had an affair, let's say, with someone. Not she was raped. She had an affair with someone else. And the husband is going to abuse the system. He's going to give her a get by the shlich, be mavat the shlich, or avon. He's going to say afkinu. So be ki hai gavne, you don't say afkinu. So let's say there are a lot of people who use the bankruptcy laws as a shtick. They make a lot of money. They write all the money on their wife's name, and they hide all the money, and then they declare bankruptcy. So then they start all over again. They don't have to pay anybody. Then 10 years later, they declare bankruptcy again. 10 years later, every 10 years, they declare bankruptcy. They don't let you declare too soon after the first one. But if they're abusing the system, they learned how to beat the system, then the Pashtus and the Tosfos says, whatever they made of Takana, they take it oilam. If you're abusing the system, the Takana doesn't apply. So that's relevant to the bankruptcy. The Takana shouldn't apply whenever people are abusing the system. Yeah. Where else do we say Dina Machus Adina when all the parties involved are Jewish? So in Gittin, in the first Perek, there's a Mishnah, and there's a Machloikas in the Gemara, what Pshat in the Mishnah is. What if one Jew sells a property to another Jew, and he made a Kenyan that's only legal according to Dina Machus? He didn't make a Kenyan that's valid according to Halach. But according to the Dina Machus, it's a good Kenyan. So that's a machlokes, and we assume dina the machlokes dina, even though the both parties are Jewish, we say that that the kinyan is valid. How come? Usually dina machlokes doesn't apply. So the Chazanish explains why in his sefer. So he says, let's say two Jews have a dispute in dina mamonis, and instead of going to Bezna, they go to Arkos. So they violated the din. But the judge gives a psak. The psak doesn't correspond to Chosh Mishpat, it corresponds to secular law. So is that psak binding or not? So the Chazanish says yes. If the court paskin on your case, the judge didn't make a mistake. He paskin based on secular law. If he paskin on your case, that psak is binding. If the bezin wants to, later on, if they see it fit, they may decide to penalize the one who won the court case by going to court because of the fact that he went to court. He was a lucky dinner, he wasn't supposed to go to court. Well, let's say they're both wise guys. They're both not so from. They said they want to go to secular court. So why should they penalize one more than the other? So if a goyish judge gave a psak on a case, a dini mamon is not corresponding to din ha-Torah, the psak is binding. So here, it's the machlokes is like this. The judge didn't give him psak. They have a shtar. One sold real estate to the other one, and they had a shtar. The shtar was signed by goyim. It was written by goyim, signed by goyim. So the goyim are pasul eidus. So al pidin, it's not a good shtar. That's if you're eidi chasim bekas. You don't have eidi chasim. So we don't pass on eidi chasim bekas. But let's say if you need eidi chasim, so there's no kosher eidim. The goyim are not kosher eidus. Even in every knayin, is not kosher eidim. The goyim is not chayim mitzvahs at all. So be sure it's pasul eidus. Rashi doesn't agree, but that's the way we assume like Tosfos, that goyim are posulators. So if the shtar was written under the auspices of a bezin, it's not a psak of a bezin. It was written under the auspices of a arkoz shel goyim. So that's a machloikas in the Gemara. Do you treat that like the arkoz gave a psak on the case? So the psak is binding, or do you say no? The court didn't paskin anything. It just used the Kenyan shtar that they all trouble. So that's machlokes we paskan that you do say din and machlusa there. Even though the judge didn't paskan anything, he just applied the din and machlusa to their case. So it's also it's considered a good kinyan. About we spoke about chaloshem bailus. You have hegdish in stock as a chaloshem bailus, but it's a shailah. Do we say that we follow din in the malchusa that a corporation, a dummy corporation, owns the property, and the one who is one of the shareholders in the chametzdika and the schnapps company is not in violation of balyura by matzei because he has a share in the corporation, but the corporation owns the chametz. He doesn't own the chametz. Or they say no, all the shutfim own the chametz. So Moshe says we don't recognize that dummy corporation. And other rabbanim, so it's 150 years or so. Other rabbanim say we do recognize it. Rabbi Asher Weiss and Eretz, so he says we recognize it because of the Shach. Because the Shach says whenever the halacha has nothing to say, the halacha says nothing about corporations, so then we follow the machus. But the Chazanish says that the Shach is wrong. It doesn't exist. There is no thing in the world that the halacha has nothing to say. And the halacha says you're right or I'm right. So Rabbi Moshe says one way. You have to figure out what does the halacha say. So that's a question. So it's Yadua Bish. The Minchas Yitzchok. Yitzchok used to be a dying wife from Neda Haredes. So he wrote a lot of tshuvas. Quite a few volumes. I think it's more than 10 volumes. So he has in one of his tshuvas, he quotes that they say in the name of the Chazon Ish that if you can walk into a government office in Eretz Yisrael and walk off with furniture or walk off with pens and pencils or paper and, without getting caught, there's no Issa Gezel. What does that mean? So people thought that the Chazon Ish didn't recognize the Israeli government. So the Minchas Yitzchok says he researched it, and it's not true. The Chazon Ish would say the same in America and in Britain, any country. If you have a government, you have a king, and the king owns everything in the country, then it's owned by the king. It's owned by the government, by the Chaloshem Bailim. There is no such thing. Chazon Ish, there is no such thing. There is a Chaloshem Bailim by Tzedakah and Hegdish, but you can't invent your own. The government owns it. No such thing as a government owner. So he said, basically, when the government buys furniture, and they buy pads of paper and pens and clips and whatever, and furniture, so everything is Hefker. There is no ownership of the Chaloshem government, and whoever wants can take whatever they want. That's what the Chazon Ish said. Do we hold like that Chazon Ish? So the Minchas Yitzchok says we don't. Chazon Ish was outvoted. He says because in Eretz Yisrael the system is before Hakamas HaMedina, I think the system is that the government buys up all the peris, all the farmers grow peris, and then they sell it to Tnuva. Tnuva is owned by the government. And then the government has people, mafish, chumas, and maisers. And then they sell the peres from Tulava to the balabatim. So according to the Chazon Ish, everything is hefker. It can't be mafish, chumas, and maisers on hefker. There's no bailam. So he says, but this was instituted by the rabbanim from the badats. Minchas Yitzchok was from the badats. So he said, this was instituted by Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld and all the tzaddikim before the Chazon Ish came on the scene. So he says, obviously we don't hold from that Chazon Ish. The government, we said, the government, there is such a thing. Chaloshem Bailam, of government. But the punchline is, people thought that the Chazon Ish only said it on Eretz Yisrael. So Minchas Yitzchok was Mavare, he says, it's not true. He said it on any democracy. Whenever you can't say the king owns it, then there's no Chaloshem Bailam like that, the government.
So if there's a contract that, let's say, doesn't have two kosher witnesses, but it's a legal contract, that, according to the Chazon Ish, that would be binding
on
Tzimitam Dina D'Machlus Adina?
1 minute
contract. Meaning, Rebbe said a minute ago that
Kinyonim
that are not...
That's a machlokes in the Gemara, we paskin that it's good, yeah. But it's only good if Shtaris Ha'olim Bar Kois. The Shtar was filled out in the court. It wasn't a psak of the judge. There was no court case. What is filled out by the court? So that was the machloek. He quotes a Rabbeinu Yonah and Bava Basra.
It can't just be that.
But Stam Goyim filled out a document that not. Because the Gemara says Din and Machlis Adin. It means it has to be the Shtar was filled out by a court. So we even apply, we treat it as if the court had given a Psa, even though they didn't give any Psa. But if it wasn't filled out by Kosh Alakam, it wouldn't be valid. Where else do you say Din and Machlis Adin? So the Gemara in Bava Metzia tells about Rab Shimon Bar Yochai, the one who did the work on the Zohar, Rab Shimon. He had a son, Rab Elazar Rab Shimon. So what did the son do for a living? If they were sitting and learning Zohar in the cave for so many years, what did he do for a living? He was a policeman for the Roman government, because they didn't speak Yiddish. The Romans didn't speak Yiddish. They didn't know how to catch the Jewish ganavim. So he worked for the Roman government. So how would he know who's a ganav? So if someone would be yawning over his breakfast, obviously he didn't sleep last night. So if he was a Talmid Chacham yawning, he said he probably was busy learning. But if he he seemed like a shady character and there was a geneva in town, he would assume that he was up last night doing the geneva. He would arrest him, and they gave the death penalty for ganavim. That's a din. The ben noach is nereg al pachas mishavir puta. The noach is chay misa. Azarasim zui misasam. Whenever the nochri violates any one of the shavim mitzvah ben noach, he's chay misa bidei adam, and he's even nereg if he steals pachas mishavir puta. So Rab Elazar Rab Shimon would arrest people based on this circumstantial evidence. Whoever was yawning over breakfast. And there was a geneva the night before, so he put 2 and 2 together to get 22. So he's the one who did the geneva. And the Gemara says he was never wrong. Every single time he was right. And sometimes they would scream, I'm innocent, it's fake, it's not true. They would research it, it would come out that he was balacious fish, and he did many averas. And he did the geneva too. Every single time he was right. So the question is, he would massa Jewish people. What happened to the din of Asira? What happened to... How do you kill a person based on circumstantial evidence? We don't allow circumstantial. The answer is, Dine b'nei noach, they can judge. We can't, but the dinim shal Yisrael, we're not allowed to use circumstantial evidence. But the bezdin shal nochem is allowed to. What happened to the dinim mesira? No, mesira is only one in shaloi kedin. The original dinim mesira is, the government wants to know who, all the Jews on Shabbos they dress nicely, on the weekdays they dress with dungarees. And on Shabbos they dress nicely. So how do you know who's rich and who's poor? So they ask someone, who are the wealthy Jews? They didn't have any banks then. So the wealthy Jews have money stuffed away in their mattress. So I tell them, this guy is very wealthy. So they go to his house and they steal all the money from his mattress. So that's Mesira. I'm going to maser a person to the government that they should take away all his money. Shaloi kedin, that's Mesira. But if a guy violates an avera, he deserves a punishment. Even though the government is going to give him a bigger punishment than what he deserves. He's Jewish, he doesn't deserve Misa. A Nachri is Chai Misa and Gezel, even Pozo Shavu Puta. But the Goyish government has the right to give Misa to Jews on Gezel. So the Gemara seems to say that that's Muta. Eliyahu Navi came to Rab Elazar Rab Shimon and said, it's not a nice job for a nice Jewish boy. Go get a different job. Doesn't pass. But he didn't say you're in violation of Mesira. So the Rishonim say that. They run. The Ran on Sanhedrin points it out. You see from the Gemara that that's not Mesira.
Well, what would be the Isra Mesira? Is it Gezel? Is it Grama Benazikin?
Yeah. Mazik? Yeah. They have no right to take his money. They're just taking all the money because he's rich. They have no right to take it. So that's a Gemara. Let's say the government is anti-Israel. And they heard that there was a rally in Washington, and they want me to testify who was there at the rally. So I say, all these 20 guys were there at the rally. They didn't do any Avera, though. If he did some Avera, even on our books, he don't get the death penalty. They're going to give the death penalty, then it's not Mesira. But if I tell them, I'm going to Masa, who were the Jews who were at the rally? They didn't do any Avera on our books. So that's real Mesira. That's real Mesira. Or let's say the fella did an Avera, but they're gonna put him in prison. His cellmate is going to be a Muslim. He's going to harass him to death. I know there was a fellow from the yeshiva who was sitting in prison. His cellmate was a Muslim, and he threatened to kill him. He threatened to kill this Jew unless his wife gives his wife $100 every month. So he had no brera. So he had to give the $100. That was a state prison. Federal prisons, you get kalat kosher and daf yomi, and everything is different. So if they're going to put him in a federal prison, that's not mesira. I'll be pashta. But if you put him in a state prison, they can kill you and ain't poitzepem mitzaptev. And the guard, prison guard, can also kill you. He can do whatever he wants and get away with it. So to put someone in a state prison is really an issue of mesira. Even if he deserves a penalty, because they're going to punish him more than the law requires. He's going to suffer more than the law requires. So that's talking issue of mesira. Okay, I have a whole list of my comments. There's more to discuss, but it's enough for now. Good? Okay, we got to go down.